Welcome to the DigitalDarren.com podcast and part two of our three-part mega college football preview. Lenny Seth and I break down the AP Top 25. Let's get into the AP Top 25. Today is the 17th of August, and it's a Saturday, and they actually released the Top 25. So we're going to just do a real quick rundown. Did you get a chance to look at the 25, and did anybody surprise you where they were ranked? Like, was anybody ranked too high, too low, or even ranked at all, in your opinion?
From looking at the things, they got set up, like South Carolina number 6 and Texas A&M number 7. I think they're a little bit too high, you know, for 6 and 7. Stanford got a nice team come back. I mean, that number 4 spot might be a little uppity up for them, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go through it then. I mean, you know, we can leave off some thoughts doing it. Of course, number 1 is Alabama.
Alabama, yeah. No doubt about it. Alabama, defending champions. And they're looking pretty good coming back again this year. So, I can agree with that number 1 spot.
I think that with McCarron and actually T.J. Yeldon and Amari Cooper, I think the Nick Saban is smart enough to just get the ball to those guys and let them make all the plays. And plus, Alabama has been recruiting all world. And so they may not have the players you know, but they definitely have players with the same amount of talent. So it's just getting to know the new names. So with you, I agree with Alabama being number 1. Number 2 is Ohio State. This team, in my opinion, is the team that they have a cupcake schedule. And Urban Meyer, this is the class of the Big Ten. Urban Meyer even said, hey, you guys need to step up to our level. So that shows how much he thinks of the Big Ten. But with him, real quickly while we're on them, what do you think of Urban Meyer?
Urban Meyer, I think he's a good coach. And I'm not going to, you know, go against him, even though he was a Gator coach at one time. And he owned us a little bit.
So owned us too. So don't feel bad. He owned my Georgia Dollars too. So.
Yeah. But like I say, he's a great recruiter. And evidently, he's getting the job done with these kids on the field. You know, 2 national championships with Florida, and I think he may have a chance to do the same thing in with the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Yeah, because their schedule is pathetic, so they should walk the 12. No, that's I can't even believe that somebody would let them have this type of schedule. But, you know, like you said, they have talent all around. Nobody really challenging them. And Braxton Miller, who actually is a real strong candidate for the Heisman.
Yeah, so I like Braxton Miller. He's pretty good.
I agree with you. I think number 2 is actually a perfect rank for them. I would have given them a couple of more number 1 votes than just 1.
Yeah, just 1, yeah.
I think, but I can understand that because you do have to give Alabama a certain level of respect.
Yeah.
Number 3 is Oregon. We just talked about them, but what else do you think about them?
Oregon, they have a lot of high expectations coming in every year. I mean, I say they top 5 team. I don't know, top 5 team coming in every year. I can agree with that. You couldn't have went wrong with that. Like I say, they got a lot of good players coming back, quarterback wise, offense wise. I think you know they'll be set. They'll be safe over there. It's probably gonna be like I say. Can they stay physical long enough through the whole season? Like I said, they were coming with big games like Stanford and USC and. You know, stuff like can they stay strong in the pack?
And that, see, Stanford is ranked number 4. We'll talk about them for a second later. But I actually would have flipped it because I just think that the surety that Stanford has at coaching, where Oregon has a new coach, kind of takes away from the talent because Stanford went up there and beat them last year. Yeah. This year they played in Stanford. I could see Oregon being anywhere between number 3 to number 5, and same thing for Stanford. But I think Oregon has enough talent. It's just the head coach growing into his own and becoming the head coach, and if he can ease into that transition, because it is a difference from being a coordinator to a head coach of a team like Oregon that has such high expectations.
Yeah.
And we talked about their facility earlier. If you don't win big with that type of facility and those type of expectations hanging over you, it gets really bad really quickly. So, number 4, Stanford. We just talked about them when we discussed Oregon. I think David Shaw is one of the strong coaches on the rise. Think he's done a good job with Andrew Luck and a good job after Andrew Luck. I still think they lost a little bit at running back and some of the hard hitting players. That,
yeah.
But I would give them. I can see number four. I can agree with them.
Yeah. I mean, that's another team. Like I say, with Oregon, top five, top six. I can agree with them. Like I say, the head coach, he's picking up off Jim Harbaugh or whatever. And he didn't miss a pay, so that's why I'm gonna go back to Oregon. That's why I say they might be safe, a little safer up there too. So see how they get through this season.
Number five, your favorite team in the world.
Oh, man.
The Georgia Bulldogs. How about them dogs, Lennox? How about them dogs? seriously, though, the dogs, five is a fair ranking for them. This has been the mantra on the market. They've been great, but never superior. So they've always been in that 2 to 5, 2 to 10 range, depending on where you want to look at it for the most part. They've had their down years. But specifically under Aaron Murray, and even with Mark Richt to a big extent, they haven't had that big, huge win that would prepare them to the next level. Like Alabama had the win at LSU where they were down and threw the screen pass. Georgia has never had those type of plays and those type of wins where they've been down or outclassed for most of the game and come back and have won.
Yeah.
They haven't had one of those under Mark Richt since maybe his first 5 years. And so I can see number five. I think that the defense is the problem. They have talent, but again, it's they don't have that solid defensive person who you know can get that stop or do a big play when you need it. And again, you have to question Aaron Murray because Clowney called him scared. And when he made those statements, because they just gave a teaser when I first heard it, like Clowney says quarterbacks are scared. The first one that came to mind was Aaron Murray.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Georgia this year?
I agree with you. Me personally, I think Georgia will have a top five offense in the country this year. And I will give you that. And, I say, defensive-wise, I don't know how would Georgia hold up this year. But like I said, last year, you guys kind of stunk it up a little bit, you know, until you had a couple of little cupcakes at the end of your schedule with Auburn. And
well, we can't control Auburn being sorry now. We can't control that. Maybe we can get Jay Chizik on the podcast because he is not doing anything right now. So.
But, yeah, I think, like I said, Aaron Murray and the offense, the two running backs you guys have, I think be very high powered. Like I said, the problem I think would be trying to make a stop. That's the only difference I have with Georgia, you know, just the defensive wise, you know.
Quick thoughts on Mark Richt, because he was the offensive coordinator at your favorite school, Florida State, before he came to Georgia. He's actually been, in my opinion, the best thing to happen to UGA since Herschel Walker.
I agree with that, yeah.
Would you like to see him come back to FSU?
Oh, yes, I would. But right now, I mean, you know, we'll get to that later on about Jimbo and the nose, but I will agree with you on Mark Richt being the best thing that happened in Georgia since 1980. I will say that. And, I mean, he's a great recruiter. I mean, he learned from Bobby, you know. So
shout out to the legend, Bobby Bowden.
Yes, sir. And, I mean, like I say, he's turned Georgia around, you know, 10 win seasons and, you know, ranked in the top five, you know, a couple years, you know, so. I don't understand how some Georgia fans would dog this guy, you know what I mean, when he's came in and turned you guys into a powerhouse.
Completely agree. Yeah. Completely agree. Before him, Georgia was a 18-25 ranked team. Yeah. It'd be 8-4, 7-5, maybe 9-3 on a good year. He's turned us because you got to think Jim Dunning was okay. Ray Goff, he had Eric Zion. That's all you probably remember him from. But, you know, Mark Richt has turned Georgia into a definitely a top 10 team, more of a top 5 team. But like you said, he's definitely turned Georgia into something more than they've been. And I wish dog fans would appreciate him and appreciate that one. Now, I do think that he needs to win the big one at some point. Yeah. But I would not get rid of him right now.
I mean, you guys do need that, like you said, that game to get you over that hump. You know what I mean? Like that national title game, you know, like. Last year, you know, a lot of dog fans still talking about that Alabama game in the SEC championship, how we was 5 yards or however many yards you guys was.
It was 10. If you go back and look at the game, because they showed on ESPN, you is the top game of the year last year. Georgia had a lot of chances to win that game and a lot of chances to lose that game. So, the beef out of Alabama, they actually, to me, they took that win.
They played like champions.
Exactly. They played like champions, and that's one of the things Georgia has missed. Well, enough about Georgia. Number six is South Carolina. Steve Spurrier is still hanging around.
Yeah.
What'd you think about those? The old ball coach. What'd you think about the old Gamecocks?
old ball coach, you know, he's another one. Like I said, he brought South Carolina along a long way and made him a contender. But like I say, his offense is not the offense that normally you would see with Steve Spurrier. You know,
He had a real problem developing quarterbacks. Yeah. Like in Florida, he was known for developing quarterbacks.
He hasn't got that quarterback that you know, that they just like you've known him to have in the past. Or I don't think he's been able to get that talent, that much talent receivers, like I say, to Florida and stuff like that. He's been able to get them with a couple of one-time receivers here and there, you know. But majority, most ball, he's been getting some of the good backs. So
yeah, he's been talent-wise. He's been getting. I can say this: he's pretty much put a lock on South Carolina. He's gotten pretty much most of the talent that he's wanted. He just hasn't been able to develop the quarterback. To your point, that you've known for him to develop. I mean, he's had one train with Steven Garcia. Connor Shaw hasn't been as good as he thought he would be. At least in my opinion. Maybe you're a Connor Shaw fan. They had the other guy, I think his name is Dylan Thompson. I would actually probably try him or play him half of some games to see what he can do, because you know what Connor Shaw can do, and it's very limited in passing games. So I would actually want to see if I was a South Carolina fan, I would be looking forward to what Dylan Thompson can do.
Yeah.
But number six, I wouldn't have them right number six. I probably would slide them down a little bit, but I can see because the Clowney effect.
Yeah.
I can see them being ranked at number six.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Like I say, same here. Six, like I said, I might slide them back a little bit, but like I say, you know, you got a big name like Clowney on the team right now, but I don't see them holding that sixth spot not that long. So,
yeah. Number seven, we got Texas A&M. Have they officially changed their name to the Texas A&M Manziels yet?
I mean, that's what I was about to say. It should be the Manziels at number seven, but, you know, Texas A&M, I won't take anything from them. I mean, they got a couple good players they had on defense a couple years. And, you know, like I say, Manziel, ever since then, it's been a Manziel. Manziel,
whatever. It's been a football show. I mean, I'm surprised they haven't changed the name of the university to Texas, at the University of Johnny Manziel. Seven, I can understand that they beat Alabama last year. If Johnny Manziel plays, let's go. We need to start qualifying his name with that, because he may not play this year. If he plays, that's a justifiable ranking. If not, you might as well slide them down.
Yeah.
Number eight, first ACC school, home of, you know, your favorite team, Clemson. Taj Boyd, another quarterback, Klein said was scared. Dabo Swinney, I actually like Dabo a lot.
Yeah, Dabo Swinney, I think he's a good guy too. Good coach. He's a good recruiter.
He's a good recruiter. They still have Sammy Watkins, right?
Yeah.
So they still have talent around. They just, again, some of these teams, the shortcomings may not be the players on the field. It may just be, like, who's holding the hit, making the decisions.
Yeah.
And just like with Georgia, it's the same thing with Clemson. If Dabo can get one win over a quality opponent, South Carolina's been his kryptonite. And if he can if he can go through the conference and beat South Carolina, that would be a huge step for them.
Yeah, Clemson, I think Clemson is a very good football team. Like I say, only thing with Clemson is Clemson defense-wise. Clemson got a great offense, I think, like I say, with Georgia. Top offense in the country, but it's like, can you stop anybody? And they haven't proven that.
I mean, they just gave up 70 a couple of years ago, right, in the BCS Bowl game. So, you know, I can completely understand that. Number nine is Louisville. Now, this actually is a team I would move up to probably number three, and not so much for the talent. They have Teddy Bridgewater. I think Charlie Strong is the coach on the rise.
Charlie Strong, yeah.
They probably in the worst possible conference in the BCS. I mean, the Big East, the American Conference, whatever they call themselves now, they absolutely suck. And Louisville should walk through that conference easily. And their non-conference schedule is the University of Kentucky and Western Kentucky.
Yeah.
And so, on top of having a sucky conference, they plan a sucky non-conference schedule, too. Yeah. So, I would actually look for them to be a dark horse in the BCS title race. And I would actually, for reasons outside of who they have on the field, I would rank them number three.
Yeah, but like I said, there's another team scheduled, strength of schedule. If it matters, it won't withstand against the voters or the computer. So,
yeah, you're right.
No, good luck.
Number 10, Florida. Will Muschamp calling out names, everybody dropped a dime on them. They have a lot of talent. I actually saw Florida a lot last year. That quarterback play sucked. That's, I don't know if they're still going to try to go with Jeff Driscoll or Jacoby Brissett or whoever, but they have to get better quarterback play if they're going to be serious at all.
Yeah, you know, they lost Brissett. Now he's up in NC State now. After Driscoll, I don't know. I say Driscoll, maybe he needs to drift off. His,
yeah, he's been really bad. And like, what about, do they still have Trey Burton there? Is there like do-it-all Percy Harvin type guy?
I don't know. I don't know. Florida, they're loaded with talent. Like I say, to go around the Driscoll guy, I just don't see it. Florida defense last year, like I said, they were something a lot of teams didn't want to deal with by being physical and with speed on the field. So, I mean, like I said, the only thing I see them doing is handing the ball off again because, like I said, the quarterback, he can't throw a party, I don't think.
I completely agree. I actually would drop them down for the simple fact that Jeff Driscoll is their quarterback. Like, I probably put them in the 15 range or whatever. But, you know, they went to a BCS last year, excuse me. They went to 11-2. So I could see how they got number 10.
I would drop them down. Plus, I mean, because they beat us in a way with the 5 turnovers last year.
Number 11, the Florida State Seminoles.
Sir.
As you hear Britton in the background, my guy's a huge Florida State fan. How about them Noles? Chief. The Chief.
O.C. Allen, baby. Renegade.
All right. So, tell me about y'all. Why should y'all be ranked 11th or higher? Why should y'all be ranked 21st?
And I love these boys with all my heart. But I think the 11th spot might be a little bit too high for us right now. Like I said, we're coming in with we'll have a new quarterback. Right now, Jimbo, he hasn't named a quarterback yet. So,
speaking of quarterbacks, Winston said, "I don't want to have the Johnny Manziel disease." What did you think?
Everybody knows Manziel. I mean, it was the right thing to do at the right time to do. You know, like I say, if he does win the job, you know, let's go ahead and get it out of the way. I mean, I'm gonna stay humble. I'm not gonna get out here and do all these, you know, Johnny Manziel things.
Oh yeah,
you know. Partying with Will Ferrell, like a couple of USC quarterbacks we used to know in the past.
Yeah.
11th spot might be a little bit high for us, you know, coming in, what I say, working with a new quarterback, freshman quarterback, or a redshirt sophomore quarterback. But I do think our defense, the Noles defense, will be dominant again this year. So be on the lookout for that defense.
Okay. Any names you want to drop as a player to watch for y'all?
James Wilder, Rashard Green, defense, LaMarcus Lattimore, LaMarcus Joyner. We got a big cup, Carlos Williams. We got a lot of guys out there, Timmy Jernigan. I think it's going to be a good year on defense, so, you know.
Okay. All right. Number 12, LSU. Now, this is a team I actually would rank higher.
Yeah.
And I'll get into why later, but they would be ranked ahead of Florida if it was me.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like I say, Les Miles, the Mad Hatter. Is a couple of LSU fans, they like to call him. He finds the talent, he's able to keep the talent in state. And like I say, it's just a couple goofy calls that you have to scratch your head about sometimes by Les Miles. But I mean, he does have LSU at the top, fighting for the top some kind of way every year.
I completely agree. What, real quickly, Zach Mettenberger, the Georgia transfer. He wasn't that good last year. 10, they would definitely be right there in Florida if it was me.
Yeah.
13 is Oklahoma State. Mike Gundy is West Lund last year, who was his prize recruit. And by week 6, he wasn't even starting. He got hurt, and I forgot the young man's name who came in for him. But he came in and did a good job.
Yeah, he did.
And so, now I would keep them at 13.
Yeah, that's a good spot for Oklahoma State.
Number 14, Notre Dame, Brian Kelly. I actually would drop them lower just because they lost their quarterback and Tayau. In retrospect, I think Tayau should have deserved the Heisman. Just going back in the past, if I were to do that, I would say Tayau deserved the Heisman. But I would drop them lower because they lost their quarterback and they lost Tayau. They basically lost the two biggest people on their team.
Yeah.
So I know you have to rank them in the top 25 because they went to the national championship game last year. But I don't know where I would rank them. It would probably be like 22 somewhere.
Yeah, I agree. That quarterback loss, that was a pretty big loss for him. So I'm scratching my head like, you know, who's up next for him? Or can he come in and compete the same as last year, the spot he was in last year?
Number 15, Texas. Can Matt Brown coach?
Matt Brown being an FSU alum, like I said, I'm not going to go against Matt Brown, but I think he's a pretty good coach over there. Texas is another good team with talent-wise. They keep a lot of kids in-state. Yeah, it seems like they're missing some. They lost the defensive coordinator down to Florida, and I think they kind of took a little bit out of them guys now and then. So,
yeah.
We'll see, you know.
Well, Matt Bryan hasn't been great since Vince Young left, right? I mean, he had Vince Young and Colt McCoy. He had great years with those guys, and ever since then, without those guys, he's actually been probably an average. Just like they were going to the Holiday Bowl every year when he didn't have Vince Young and Colt McCoy. So, question if he's really the right person for the job long term. Yeah, it hasn't time as fast, exactly. And number 16 is Oklahoma. Speaking of how they time passed. This guy was the top of the town. They beat y'all, what, 2000, National Championship 2001?
Yeah,
they beat y'all, and he was the talk of the town, but...
I was paid one time.
Exactly. He actually got back to a couple of National Championships and lost every one after that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And lately, they've been losing the teams that they weren't supposed to lose, like the Texas Tech, and just games that they shouldn't have lost. And, you know, I would question if Bob Stoops is the right man. Number 16 is Oklahoma, if I didn't say it. So I would question if Bob Stoops is the right man.
Yeah. I can say that 16, it seems like a pretty good spot for OU. I say you could go 15, 16, or 14. So
yeah, I can agree. They're slated in the right range. I can agree to that. We don't have that much to say about Oklahoma. Just real quickly, Oklahoma and Notre Dame play this year in Notre Dame. Who do you think win that game?
Oh man, I think I'm gonna get an edge to Oklahoma. Oklahoma might be able to, might be a little more physical.
I think they're more athletic, physical, stronger, faster, too. And I think that without Tay Allen, some of that heart that Notre Dame had last year, I think that they will be.
Yeah, agree with that.
Number 17, Michigan. I don't really have that many thoughts on any of the Big Ten schools because right now, in my opinion, it's just Ohio State and everybody else. Michigan has Devin Gardner. He has a lot of talent. The question is, do they have the talent around him to make him stand out like he should?
I don't think so. I mean, I say Michigan. I don't think so about Michigan. I don't have much to say about it all.
I mean, you both. You know what I mean? Yeah. Exactly. Outside of Gardner, Nebraska. Taylor Martinez seems like he's been there for 20 years. Is he getting a degree or what? He's just hanging around the school.
Chris Winfield.
Exactly. Nebraska number 18, and this is a. I know it was a real big Nebraska fan, but you young kids won't remember a time when Nebraska used to dominate college football like nobody's business.
That's right.
Ever since Tom Osborne left and Frank Solich left, they've been sliding backwards. Bo Pelini had the nerve to get on camera and say that he's done a great job and they've been to a championship game every year he's been the coach. They haven't really been a threat, in my opinion.
Exactly. This is not the Nebraska that that me and you grew up to, and I'm pretty sure a lot of older guys grew up to in the early days. But, I mean, I'm 18. I mean, who cares? I mean,
At this point, who cares? Nebraska probably is maybe – they are probably the third or fourth best team in
somebody cares about that. Somebody's fans, still fans of Nebraska, so –
well, if they're fans, they should go get a better coach. You know, McLean hasn't gotten the job. You have to be honest sometime. Number 19 is Boise State. And Boise State has had a good run with Kellen Clemens. Kellen Clemens, I think his name was, that quarterback. He's been gone. Last year, they were pretty average. Well, above average, but not. And they're nothing great. I think the coach is a good coach, but it's hard to get talent in Idaho. I know they had that run where they were really good, but I'm just not seeing what they were.
I won't take that much away from Boise. Like I say, Boise, I think they sneak a couple players in there, a couple JUCO players. They seem to find talent somewhere out there. So, I mean, 19, that could be a good spot for Boise.
Yeah, 19 is a good spot.
I don't see them being as loaded as they were. Like I say,
when they came and beat us. Yeah, again, Mark Rick again shouldn't have lost. Yeah. Maybe he lost, but I agree with you. Number 20, TCU, huge Gary Patterson fan. I think he has a good program.
Yeah, I thought he should have been looked up a little bit higher.
Yeah, I would have put them at probably 15. I actually would have put them above with Texas and Oklahoma. They, in my eyes, they may not have the talent as those other programs, but they play as hard and. in my eyes, have just as good a coaching and just as good on the field. Somehow that produces probably the same product. So
I think they open up with they got a big game starting off. I think they open up with LSU. So.
Yeah, they do. That will be one of the games I watch, because if Zach Mettenberger messes up that game, you have to kind of look at who will be the quarterback for the Tigers.
Yeah.
One thing I will say about TCU, they will be prepared.
Yeah.
Did you see in the paper where Garrett Patterson was critical of Les Miles for letting the team vote the players back on after he jumped up by it? So I guess Les trying to do anything to win that game.
I can't lose. I can't afford to lose these guys.
Yeah, that's what Les said.
Beat up anybody you want to,
man. As long as you don't kill them, we'll find a way to get you on the field. All right. 21 is UCLA. Now, this team was actually really, really good last year. Who would have thought under Jim Moore? Like, he couldn't even keep D'Angelo Hall and Michael Vick in check up here. But he's turned out to be a decent college coach. They went to a title game last year with very little talent. They just had that running back and a D and a linebacker who was good.
That's a pretty good defense player.
Yeah, the linebacker led the league in sacks.
Yeah.
I mean, the country in sacks. I think he's a good player. He's came back this year.
Yeah.
So I'll actually probably rank them a little higher, too.
But. Yeah. And like I said, be on the lookout for Sean Puffy Combs.
Sean Diddy Combs' son. Yeah, I think he'd be dancing at halftime. But besides that, he's actually a good player. He plays wide receiver, I think.
Cornerback.
I know. I heard Jim Moore say he's one of the players to look for this year. So hopefully, he can't stop, won't stop. He'll be ready. Number 22 is Northwestern. Pat Fitzgerald, they're a bunch of school boys, a bunch of nerds who play really hard for them. They have a talent problem, but they do the best they can with what they have. And I'm not mad at their ranking for them. I mean, they can't ask for anything more.
I mean, like I said, at 22, they might be a little bit too high for them. I think they should be a little lower than 22 because Northwestern, I think they played pretty good last year.
Yeah, they had some good. Yes, they played some good games. They actually gave away a couple of games. They actually gave away a game to Michigan that they should have won.
Yeah, they should have pulled that out.
23 is Wisconsin. Brett Bielema left Wisconsin to go to Arkansas, which I thought was very weird.
Yeah.
I didn't see the logic in that. But, I mean, he could have kept being number two to Ohio State in the Big Ten as long as he was there. But, you know, 23 seems like a number for them. I actually would put Penn State in the top 25, even though, you know, the problems they've had. I would have put Penn State in there before Wisconsin.
So they showed a lot of heart.
Yeah. Any thoughts on Wisconsin?
I think it's going to be the same old Wisconsin. Like I said, some kind of way they'll probably find a big line and a big running back to go with that line. So
but their quarterback play has been absolute shit.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's Wisconsin. Some kind of way they find a have those type of players, they come out and show up these big games against the Michigans and the Ohio State. So, we'll see.
24, the University of Southern California Trojans. I'm surprised Lane Kiffin still has a job.
Lane Kiffin, man, this guy puts his foot in his mouth every year some kind of way. I don't know how this guy
I will give this guy credit for one thing. He's the only guy who's been fired, and instead of fired and getting worse job, he's been fired up the totem pole. He got fired at Oakland and went to Tennessee, a good SEC program, left there and got up to USC while he stabbed the people in Tennessee in their back while he was leaving, talking about we're going to be – when he was at Tennessee, he was giving USC all the heads, saying we're going to be the USC of the South.
Yeah.
I love the way those guys at USC does business. If we could just be like USC, life would be great for everybody.
Yeah, he was slowly having some kind of relationship, adultery on Tennessee behind the back.
That's the perfect word, adultery.
Yeah.
And he wound up going to USC, and now they don't want him around. You can't blame them.
Number 25, man. Oregon State, man. One of your favorite teams.
I've always loved Oregon State. They used to be dirt shit sorry when I was a kid. Their games used to come on Friday night after our high school games, and I always liked it though. One, because their games used to be on, and two, because they used to have the same colors that the high school I would love, George, orange and black. Exactly, they had the same color scheme. Oregon State actually has a lot of talent. This will be my dark horse, and we'll talk about this in the conference part, but that will be my dark horse for the Pac-12 conference. The only problem is with them, they have a quarterback competition. I think they should go with Cody Vance, but they're going to split between Vance and Manning. And 25 is the right number for them.
Yeah, 25. 25 should be a pretty good spot. Somewhere in the 20s, that'll work their way up. So.
The only team I see who I thought should have been ranked who wasn't ranked, actually, two teams I give you for me is Penn State. And again, I think Tom O'Brien deserved every accolade he got last year, Coach of the Year, all that. Just to come through that, and they wind up going 8-4. But they actually lost two games that they should have won. Because Virginia, they missed like five field goals, and they actually should have won that game. And there was another game that they were up and lost like in the last minute. So I actually thought they should have been a 10-2 team, and I thought he did a really good
job. Especially with the players that he lost, you know, that took the transfer to go to other schools, and I agree with them. But I also, like I say, another team I think that should have probably got in the top 25 over probably a couple teams, probably Miami. Miami has
a nice offense. That's definitely the team that I was going to say next. Yeah. That actually is the team to watch out for.
Yeah.
Stephen Morris, Duke Johnson, they have a really good offense. And if their defense can just give them anything,
they'll be another thing that I argue with Miami about. He says they're going to run the table in the ACC, and I tell him, who are you going to stop? You know,
so. That's the problem with them. It's not scoring, it's stopping.
Yeah.
As we wind this up, the top 25 up, any thoughts on Ole Miss? They had a hell of a recruiting class. Do you think that they do anything this year with some of those big-time recruits?
I don't think. Like I said, they may be off another year off or another 2 years off, but only thing I want to know is who in the hell opened the checkbook down here.
Yeah, don't worry. They'll be on probation in 2 more years. Don't worry about it.
How did this happen?
I completely agree. A team that's never really produced any, like, besides Eli Manning, maybe a couple of other one or two players, Patrick Willis, they haven't had a recruiting class like this ever. So somebody is somehow you really play college football, and it's not by on the field. It's about opening that checkbook.
Okay, the college football gods, the ghosts of Ole Miss or something. Somebody on the checkbook.
Somebody have, but this concludes part 2 of our college football preview. Thank you for listening, and make sure you listen to part 3.